You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On today's episode of the Cooligans, in the first segment, we talk about MLS. Los Angeles Galaxy had two matches. I think just DeSantos did everything in both of those matches. He scored a lot of points in fantasy. If you had him as your captain, you made 74 points. That's incredible. New York Red Bulls gave it all the way back to DC United in the last few seconds. Toronto, Altidore plays amazing, but Giovinco is nowhere near him.
In segment number two, the Manchester Derby. We talk EPL. The Manchester Derby is back. Pep. Mourinho got pepped. Also, Arsenal, Southampton, Koscielny, unbelievable. Another a free kick from a center back, that's unheard of.
Took his bike to work.
Also, Everton against Sunderland, a hat-trick from Lukaku. Is Everton going to win the Premier League?
Probably not. In the third segment, Abby Wambach, she talks about drinking and drug use and all that crazy stuff. Terrible family. Also, when she was a kid, and we also talk about kids getting injured, not just emotionally like Abby Wambach. We're talking about injured during soccer, and what does that mean? I know kids getting injured is probably not a good thing, but for us, we actually spin it as a positive. So also, beating your kids turns out to be a positive in this last segment.
Make sure
so
you listen to the episode.
Listen to the whole thing. Please stop writing that email that you just started writing, because we're going to talk about that plus a lot more on this episode of the Cooligans.
Hi, this is Kyrie Shelton from New York City FC, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Yeah, I guess, that's very polite. Like, thank you for just sitting in your room week to week, waiting for the next one. They just keep refreshing.
You're ruining your life.
We're here. Keep refreshing the podcast app. Just, where is it? Yeah. Why isn't it here yet?
I mean, are they even trying to get it up? I'm a little worse for wear, but...
Yeah, I mean, but that's usually how it's going to go week to week. You know, you are just degrading.
I've given up salt in most of my food, so I'm slowly dying now. I feel like my body has given up hope.
How's it going, everybody? We are the Cooligans.
Yeah,
thank
right.
you for listening. Your favorite pair of comedians who host a soccer podcast.
No one else is doing it.
Literally no one else is doing it. Also, no one else is allowed to do it.
Yeah. We're putting that out there right now.
We send out constantly. I'm just writing all these cease and desist letters.
We should get a lawyer if that's what you're doing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have not told Alexis I've been doing this.
Yeah. Explains why we've been getting so much hate mail, though. Speaking of hate mail, cornballs. That's us. In case you're listening.
Oh, that's right. People do call us cornballs.
Someone said, well, we're cornballs.
Yeah, but that's...
I do like how that planned out. Like, what people, you know, whatever. Long story short, I'm the one, I'm the mean one, right? And you're like the passive one.
I don't want to. It's not about. I don't think that's a fair description.
I also call you a bitch.
I also don't think you're the mean one. I also don't think
you don't think I'm the mean
I don't.
One.
I wouldn't describe you as just mean.
Yeah, maybe not mean, but I'm the
childish,
one.
Maybe.
Okay, well then that's again. Everyone has their own. But here's the thing: I don't mind going back at someone. You view that at. You're very anti-confrontational, and I wouldn't necessarily say I'm pro-confrontation, but I don't shy away from it.
No, I think I don't think it's about being not like non-confrontational or pro-confrontational. I think it is. As an adult, you're an adult man. You're a 35-year-old man.
Yeah,
you're a man,
you're
right?
Damn right.
And the people that you're
no matter what you say, I'm going to take it as a compliment.
And the people that you're arguing with on the internet,
yeah.
are not like adult men.
They're, well, I hate to tell you this, the people that we're arguing with, because I'm doing it from the Cooligans,
are children. Are just young people?
Yeah. So people took offense. If you don't know what we're talking about, people took offense to a tweet that we're not sure who put it up, myself or Christian. It was me. It was referencing, you know, breaking Landon Donovan contemplating to come back, making comeback, ending his retirement, and I put breaking Landon Donovan contemplating tearing his ACL in a few weeks, something along those lines, tearing a ligament.
Also, there was a picture of Landon Donovan writhing in pain.
Yeah, because that's as opposed to a picture of him thinking to come back. That's what you do, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, lighthearted joke. You didn't think the joke was that great.
I didn't think the joke was great, but I didn't think it was offensive.
No, certainly not.
Yeah.
And I showed it to people, and they're like, "Oh, I don't get it. I don't understand why people are upset." I didn't realize it because I got a couple retweets and I thought everything's fine. I'm going to go back to my day. And then you hit me up and go, hey, that really pissed off some people. Yeah. And I put awesome, right? Because who gives a shit? It's comedy. Sometimes it's going to piss people off.
Yeah, yeah.
So I look and there's just someone had retweeted someone else and was like, yo, if you call yourself a cooligan, off yourself. Turns out by the end of all this, they were all Red Bulls fans. A lot of these people, they weren't even LA Galaxy fans.
Sure. I also don't think I thought that was a coincidence. The guy complaining about, like, if you call yourself a cooligan.
No. That was straight up about us.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whatever. But no, I don't think it was related to the Landon tweet. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you think it was just straight hating?
Yeah. I
oh, it was just general hate. Well, here's the thing. Look, I mean, we understand. You and I both understand that, you know, putting ourselves out there, whether it's comedy or soccer talk, that's comedic. We're trying things and some people aren't going to like that.
Yes.
Whether it just doesn't strike a chord with them or they decide that it's not funny enough for them. That's fine.
I'm completely on board right there. I feel the same exact way.
Yeah. Damn, that hurt. But I don't get offended. So I honestly don't care. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm like, where is this coming from? And also I find it funny that when there's like someone's angry to poke at them, to me, that's funny.
Yeah, and that's where we differ.
That's where the argument came in. Yeah. No, just the difference of opinion.
Yeah.
So I went back at them, and Christian's like, what are you doing? Why are you going back at these people? I'm not like, no, you're off yourself. I wasn't doing that. I was just like tapping at them and going, ha ha, you mad, bro? Like, yeah. To me, that's funny.
Yeah, and that's where, at that internet. At that point, I'm like, dude, how old are you? That's where I go.
Like, and I'm like, old enough to still find this funny.
there has to be some sense of class, because the people that are arguing with you, the people that are calling you names, are not being classy, right? So when you argue at them in return, then you are only giving them the attention they desire.
Yeah, but our fans were getting involved, and you know, to me, the
issue I had was, you're fighting about a joke that isn't even that good. So it's like, why are you defending this?
I don't know that that matters. First of all, I think it was great. I would love everyone to know that. I thought it was amazing. But yeah, it doesn't matter whether it was good or not. And I think everyone who's listening, and clearly is pro Team Alexis, just I want you to know, Christian defends the right to joke. Like, he doesn't care.
Yeah. Do any joke you want ever.
Yeah. And the cool thing about comedians is they'll be like, yeah, I don't know. You can say that. Don't ever say that again, though, because it's bad. It's not offensive. It's not this. It's just an unfunny joke. So I respect your opinion that it's an unfunny joke. But I think the way that this boils down and why I like this partnership is because you're very different than I am. Whereas if someone is saying something
physically in size and shape.
I mean, color across the board. we're literally the exact opposites. The only thing we both love is soccer. Whatchamacallit. And, you know, when someone comes at us, I feel like that's never going to be you to go back at them. That's just not your style.
If someone comes at me on the street and it's like, yo,
you're not a Quaker, you're not going to get punched in the face.
If someone says anything about me on the internet, it's like, all, you know, good for you, man.
Yeah,
like,
I totally get it. This is the age we live in now. So I don't mind. I think why our partnership is great is because you're the one who's just like, hey, man, I don't think we should do that. And I'm like, I already did that. I'm really sorry about that. So I don't mind. I honestly don't care. I just thought it was really, really funny. Someone said that we're the biggest cornballs in American soccer. Well, you only know that because you listen.
Yeah. And that was the nicest thing he said.
Yeah, yeah.
The sweetest thing, because he said some really mean things.
Yeah, he said some very disrespectful things.
A lot of slurs.
Yeah. You know. A lot of words you can't say on TV.
So look, it wasn't, to me, it's like, why argue with a psychotic person who's just trying to be mean on the internet? Yeah. You're not gaining any respect. You're not looking classy by arguing with someone, especially who's intentionally vile, you know, like it, you know, especially in comedy, this is it's a very common thing, right? Just you put something out into the world and then everybody feels like they can critique it as harshly as they want.
Sure.
And say whatever they want to you, right? You know, if somebody was and some people did say, hey, that joke was not funny. I was not classy, you know, and I'm like, you know what? I understand how they feel.
I can't see where it's not classy, but anyway, go ahead.
So look, whatever.
Annoying as hell to hear that.
We put things out and it's going
to
make people feel a certain way. And in my opinion,
yeah,
that's as far as it should really go, because arguing about whether not even about arguing. Like, I get defending something you're passionate about.
The back and forth
yeah. is so pointless.
It's also, yeah, it's unproductive.
And it looks bad. It really does look bad.
I disagree.
That's why.
You know, I live by a certain code of the streets, if you will. Like Marlo said, you know, all you have is your name. You got to defend your name. You can't have people talking down your name. So someone
we have to live our life by the code of the wire.
Yeah. Great episodes, though. Very well written. Exactly. And maybe that's just how I live, you know? But I just think it's so funny that, like, you know, if you think coming at us, like, I won't go back at you, I'm going to, but it's just going to make you look worse. Because this guy's sitting here using some of the most offensive slurs.
Yes.
Because they're not intelligent enough to say something that's actually going to harm our feelings. You
and
know that, what I mean?
And look, and this is the world that we're in, right? We're comedians. We come from the world of comedy. We stepped into the world of soccer. So for a lot of people, that's a sacred space to some degree.
Yeah, and this is what I love, is that we're shaking shit up. We've said it before.
And that's fine.
Everybody needs to watch out for that squirt, squirt, bang, bang, gang.
But when people don't like us, which hashtag is going to happen.
Squirt, squirt, bang, bang, gang.
That's going to happen. When people don't like us, fighting with them is insanely unnecessary.
No one's fighting with anyone. I'm simply rattling the hornet's nest.
But when you
I loved it.
When you look at just, you know, 140 characters of back and forth, it looks so petty. It looks childish. It looks like,
well, people need to start considering how much fun it is. It was so much fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have fun in different ways, I guess.
Yeah.
You want to tweet from @NotAlexis? That's all you, man. Do whatever you want.
Yeah, from now on, I'm just going to do that.
Like, you want to fight with people?
You
fight?
Fuck with Cooligans. Guess who's coming at you? @NotAlexis.
That's right. Everybody watch out for @NotAlexis.
The Chief Keef of the Squirt Squirt Bang Bang Gang.
Oh, man.
Christian Polanco is the producer who doesn't like to get involved. He's like, I'm just back here making beats, baby.
That's right. I'm just Puff.
Sorry.
Back there.
Take that. Anyway, listen, there was so much more than that stupid little beef.
Yeah.
There was some amazing games in the MLS.
Plenty. Yeah, this was a very big...
Which lets you know we're not going to talk about NYCFC on this episode.
Oh, well, yeah. If you listen to this to find out how NYCFC got humiliated by the New England Revolution. This is not the episode.
This ain't the thing that we go to Blue City Radio. Okay, this isn't for
There's
you.
There's plenty of podcasts for that. It just wasn't a great game, but we always like to, you know, talk about the rest of the league and some of the other great games.
Right, and we mentioned the Landon Donovan comeback. Here's the thing: he made that in their long LA Galaxy's second game of the week.
Yes,
so their first game was versus Real Salt Lake, and what a great match
that was. What a crazy match, which easily should have been 3 points to LA Galaxy.
I mean, how did they let that happen?
Brian Rowe decided to take the night off.
He was just like, I wonder if I should dive for this ball. Yeah, maybe I'll do it late. It's shocking to see that level of a mistake happen. Same thing also with the extra touch. You know, just like that extra touch he took that created the penalty.
Yeah, so the LA Galaxy against RSL, 3-3 draw, full of goals. Generally great game, but really just two terrible, terrible mistakes from goalkeeper Brian Rowe for the LA Galaxy.
Yeah, the Galaxy won that match. Rowe lost it. That's how that works, and you end up with a draw that way. The ball goes up in the air just along the touchline. He's following it along.
He can grab the ball also.
He can grab the ball whenever he wants.
I think he chested it.
No. He sort of brings it down with his foot.
Yeah.
He takes a touch with his foot. And of course, he's an American, so the touch goes a bit further than it's supposed to. What happens is it sort of goes in the path. He's to the right of the goal. It goes away from the goal, but directly towards the other goal. So it kind of comes across. Another, an RSL player.
Plata
starts running at it.
Yeah, because it makes sense to go chase the ball. Oh my God, he's not going to grab it.
Yeah, especially if the goalkeeper's not in front of the goal. You're like, oh my God, he's never going to get back in time. This is perfect. As he's running, Rowe thinks, I need to throw myself in the direction of the runner to defend the ball, to stop him from getting the ball. And guess what that's called when that happens in the penalty box, folks? A penalty.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why it's there. It was shocking.
It was dumb because for the most part, and I'm noticing this more the more I play soccer, right? Where
here we go, everybody.
No, that spatial awareness, right? I'm terrible. I just stare down at the ball and I have no idea who's around me,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But you start noticing, like, you know, players whenever before they receive the ball, they look to see who's around and then they receive the
ball.
Then they react. And that seemed very odd, especially for a goalkeeper to not know who is around you. You know, you just grab the ball.
Yeah. Also, why would you like? They weren't killing the clock or anything. There was literally no need for him to take a touch with his foot.
Yeah.
Grab it, exactly. Catch it, and then run forward. It made no sense. So Joao Plata gets just sort of taken out. You know, then you have a penalty, and it went back and forth. That other Joao Plata goal, or that the only, because he didn't take the penalty.
He did take the penalty.
He had this screamer from just outside the box. It was insane. I mean, it was so much so that I had to rewind it to actually watch the goal, like the ball go in, because it seemed like it was like boom, and all of a sudden the back of the goal was like, the net was sort of taken apart.
It looked like a shot that normally goes over the bar. It was just so, it was all power.
Nothing. There was no finesse about that whatsoever.
And those usually do not go in, but they literally like just hit the roof of the net.
Yeah.
And overall, RSL, I mean, they look like they are going to, I think they're going to be the toughest out in the playoffs.
They got some pieces, man. That Movsisian and Joao Plata. And they, you know, I mean, you can't.
Martinez also really, he scored the third goal, I believe.
And why can't I remember the guy's name with the dreadlocks right now?
Beckerman.
Yeah. I mean, you can't, I mean, all of these pieces, they're, you know, some veterans, some very smart players,
but also,
I think you're right. I think they are going to be someone who's going to be really tough to knock out of those playoffs.
Rowe, it didn't end there. Rowe, he was like, let's have an encore.
You're talking. We didn't even mention the last goal. We only joked around about it. Oh my God. This is worse than everything else he did.
So again, LA Galaxy's up 3-2. They have this match. It's already an extra time. This match is over. And Martinez took a shot. And it just rolled on the ground.
Yeah, it's the kind where you just sort of fall over it.
Yes.
And he just fell over it too late. It literally went between his elbow and his body.
Yeah.
Shocking.
a terrible.
If that happened to you in FIFA, you'd break the screen because you're like, that's clearly they want the other team to win. It looked like Rowe took money from RSL. Like, how much you need to win by? At least draw?
It looked like an incredibly simple stop. And to lose.
It was a bad shot. It was a weak shot.
To drop 2 points for that really, really hurts. That was a bad one. But again,
take off that helmet.
Keane,
you know, Peter Cech.
Keane was out. He's back from international break.
Yeah.
I think he scored a goal in Ireland, and that was cool. And Gerrard is out, injured. And so Dos Santos is like carrying this team.
He took over.
And he's just.
Two goals and an assist? I mean, he was.
He had an incredible week across both games. But Dos Santos had a couple great goals.
Yeah, for those of you who had Dos Santos, if you put him as your captain in MLS Fantasy, you got yourself 74 points.
Yeah.
That is that's more than most of the. I think that's higher than the average.
Yeah, in our Fantasy League in MLS. One of our sponsors on the Valley Apparel, the guy who runs it, Elvis.
That was in last place like a month and a half ago.
He also started late.
Yeah.
He also started like a week or two after we began the league, and now he's in first place.
He's in first place. The guy scored 115 points in a week, because he had Dos Santos. Thank God he didn't have him as a captain.
Oh, yeah. We wouldn't even be close.
He'd still be in first place, but he'd be so much further ahead.
So I believe there's just 5 games left. It's looking like
I still have a shot. You're nowhere near it, but I feel like I have a shot.
I'm sixth, I believe. Fifth or sixth?
I'm third.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have a chance.
I might be third or fourth.
That's something. Unless Villa gets like 9 goals in one game.
Well, you got to start making some changes, baby.
I try my best.
Speaking of the monster week Dos Santos had. I mean, the next match against Orlando City, 4-2. Orlando City just looked completely outmatched.
It was 4-1, actually. I made a typo.
Oh, did you? I'm sorry about that. Yeah, 4-1. That's right. It was only Breck Shea who scored that late goal.
Mm-hmm.
Completely overmatched.
It was Molino.
Molino scored?
Yeah.
No. Breck Shea also scored.
Oh, maybe it was 4-2.
Yeah, it is 4-2. Oh, yeah, Breck Shea also scored. Jesus, how many mistakes are you going to make?
Sorry, everybody.
Maybe that guy was right about us. whatchamacallit. And again, Dos Santos, I think, had another, what, 2 goals and 2 assists on this one?
I don't remember how many assists he had, but I think he did have 2 goals. But overall, I thought they just outmatched. It was weird because, you know, Orlando City just played NYCFC 2 weeks ago. And they look like a completely different team. You know, Nigel De Jong is gone. So Gerrard is not there. Keane didn't start. So I'm
presuming like LA is going to have like a little bit of some struggles.
No.
But no, man, they look.
Boateng out of nowhere looks amazing.
Boateng is, he seems like.
So short.
He's like Giovinco with just like a larger forehead. You know, he's a
much larger
forehead.
He's
a short guy.
Yeah.
But incredibly fast.
Incredibly fast. But also they use him very intelligently, which is let him sprint down the left hand side. What? I mean, that you goal, don't have any more. You don't need anything more.
There were that pass, that through ball from Van Damme.
Yeah.
And then
That was the keeper to Van Damme. Van Damme did Boateng across the face to Dos Santos.
No, it wasn't Dos Santos. It was the guy with long hair. I forgot his name.
What guy with long hair?
It's a guy with long hair. Blonde guy.
Not Davies. What's his name?
No, not Davies. Well, I'll look it up right now.
Oh, my God. But it was just like one, two, three. It reminded me of Landon Donovan's goal against Algeria. You know, it was like Timmy Howard throws the ball all of a sudden, everyone's streaking towards the goal.
Was, I mean, it was a quick counter.
Yeah, a clinical quick counterattack.
But there was a great, just for Boateng to get that cross through, because he was covered, but he did like a quick like little sidestep that like just took the defender off of him for just a fraction of a second and gave him enough space to make that cross.
Which is all you need.
Yeah.
You know, very simple. It's very, very simple. And, you know, the cross itself was pretty magical. You know, you watch this team, you watch teams like that, you see how deep they are. You know, and now they, and of course, Landon Donovan comes in this match, and the crowd goes nuts. And of course, our fans still hate us. But, you know, he comes in and you're like, they don't even need him.
Oh, no, they don't. I also wanted to get into, like, what do you think of Landon Donovan even returning? Because this is... I think you put it well. They don't need him, quote unquote, need him.
No.
He is a guy. He hasn't played professional soccer in almost 2 years.
Yeah, I think three.
A little over two and a half.
Yeah.
So, he's probably not in the greatest of shape.
No, he's injury. I mean, at this point, he's probably going to get injured, and that which was the joke I was making.
Yes.
Just because like he's playing at a level that he has not played at in a very long time. You know, do they need him? Does the MLS need him? No. I think we're beyond that. I think he was MLS 2.0. I think we're at 3.0.
Yeah, it was interesting because Ale Moreno from ESPN mm-hmm. was talking about Donovan's return, and he was making he made a great point about how if Donovan returns and she struggles, we were like, okay, well, that's sort of what we expect because he hasn't played in so long. But if Donovan returns and he's just start lighting it up, then it really speaks a lot about the MLS and
which is same thing we talked about with Drogba when he, you know, showed up last season, midway through the season, and he's all of a sudden getting hat tricks out the wazoo.
Yeah.
Does that mean he's really that good, or does that mean we're really that bad? You know?
Well, no, but I mean, it's not a fair comparison only because Drogba did play the year before he got to MLS.
True.
Yeah.
True.
But I mean, for Donovan, to some degree, it was odd that he retired at all.
It was. It seemed a bit short.
It seemed early.
And did you hear the rumor that there was a stipulation that Nigel De Jong had to be off the team before he would come back?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, which a lot of people were very upset about. They said it was very petty.
Because he just doesn't like him? Did he think De Jong was going to like injure him too?
Yeah, just kicks him right in the chest as he comes
in the middle of it.
The ref is like, I'm not even sure what to give you for that. I feel like I'm going to give you two yellows and a red and another red. Let the commissioner figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's just not either wasn't a fan or maybe, you know, he's sort of holding on to, you know, maybe some injuries that have happened in the past. I don't know. It seems really petty.
Okay.
But at the same time, people seem to think that because
maybe he just thought it was funny to send him to Turkey. Maybe he just thought it was funny.
You know, it'd be fucking hilarious. I would love if Landon like, hey, I got an idea, guys. I'll suit up again. Give me whatever number you want. But why don't we send Nigel De Jong to Turkey, huh? Yeah, that'll be fun. You know, it did come across as a little petty to me. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I guess he can pull those cards. It reminded me a lot of Thierry Henry going back to Arsenal when he scored against Leeds. Did Arsenal need him? No. Was it great to have him at the time? I mean, you know, the passion that the fans had and the way everyone felt. You looked at that and you were like, this is bigger than whether he's physically capable of doing this or not.
Yeah.
And then he scored. I mean,
completely offside, and I'm a huge Thierry Henry fan, way offside on that goal. But like, if Landon Donovan scores, I can imagine that being like this huge moment.
It's it's a good story.
Yeah,
you know. And
but we don't need the MLS doesn't need it. We have so many good stories.
Yeah,
Pirlo's like, who is this guy? Why are they cheering for him? Did you see Pirlo's new boots? By the way,
I did see Pirlo's new boots.
Cork inside, red wine outside. Yeah. Comes in like a wine box. I mean, that's the most pure low.
It looks like shoes that I'm considering waiting outside a Foot Locker in the morning, just like in a picnic chair.
You know, me and you are just gonna be walking on the stage like clink clunk, clink clunk, clink clunk. I might rock those things as like dailies. That's how beautiful they are.
Wearing cleats everywhere.
Two other matches, and we'll talk about these quickly. Red Bulls. I mean. Wow. Look, I know we make fun of you guys from time to time. We've also talked up how great of a system you guys have and how much we like Jesse Marsh.
First of all,
we're not big Red fans Bulls, of how he reacts, but
they looked amazing this game. Completely dominant. DC United barely had chances. They barely had the ball.
How about Lloyd Sam, huh? Against the team that traded him.
He's streaking.
He's all by himself. What's he going to do? Sends it right into Robles' chest.
Yeah. They had... I honestly think this is the best the Red Bulls ever looked. I mean,
without a doubt.
They looked very, very good. Just the passing was great. Kolesjian being back. Kolesjian is at, apparently now he can only score for the U.S. national team, right? No way he can score for anybody
else. Oh my God.
Post after post after post. He was so, so frustrated. And look, he puts one of those away and the Red Bulls get all 3 points.
Oh, sorry. If I'm not mistaken, the Red Bulls hit the post the most. Last year,
I'm not sure
if that stat. I can't remember where I heard that stat, but that might be. I think they just won again, just based off of this last match. I mean, that poor post was getting knocked around.
You know, and Bill Hamid looked. I mean, the goals that he, I believe the first one was like pretty bad. The first one against Bradley Wright Phillips, where he guessed before the shot was taken, almost like if it was a penalty. He's playing near post, and he thought he thought BWP was going to go far post,
right?
So he like leaned that way, and that's it, and gave up the shot and went near post,
big open space for BWP.
Just cover the near post, and that's all you got to do.
Yeah,
but overall, try to look big. He had an unbelievable game. He saved so many incredible shots. There were so many great. There was that one. There were a couple passes inside the box from BWP to Kolesjian, and then Kolesjian backheeled it. And then he went to the far post, and Bill Hamid, I mean, he looked like he was 9 feet tall at that point.
There was also this curler towards almost like a chip shot to the far post.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, I mean, I didn't think he was that long. I didn't think he could jump that far. I don't know how he saved that. He just parried it away, but I don't know how he did that.
Yeah. Without Hamid, that game would have got out of hand.
It's so funny how that could have been a 5-0 match easily.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mullins missed a shot, you know, NYCFC, former NYCFC player. Lloyd Sam misses a clear open shot, you know, former Red Bull player. It looked like it was going to go the way of Red Bull. And here's the thing, you know, they're massive rivals.
Yeah, that's
right. And I think if the number is correct, you know, I know that the DC United have won a lot more of those matches.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they win the Atlantic Cup because of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, if you're the Red Bulls, that's got to suck. had that game in hand.
Yeah, they were up 2-0. I believe the first goal from DC came in like around the 85th minute, something like that. I forgot exactly who scored. It was Steve Birnbaum.
Birnbaum scored.
Look, they rush forward, and it's not all the time that your center back just scores from something that's not a header, you know? The ball was bouncing around.
Wasn't a dead ball.
Yeah, Birnbaum took one shot, and it was blocked, and then he shot again, and it just went through everyone, under everybody. And
far post. And, you know, the last goal came, like, probably with 45 seconds before the match officially ended.
Yeah.
And it was just one of these, like, you know, sort of the ball's bouncing around. I believe it was off of a corner, if I'm not mistaken.
From a corner, and Lamar Nagel put it in.
I mean, it bounced off the post, and then it came right onto his knee, and then bounced in goal. I mean, it's got to be discouraging if you're a Red Bull player.
It's so deflating, especially when you play so well.
Oh, my God.
You play so
well.
That
was theirs.
Yeah, I mean, and I know Kolesjian would have wanted some.
You know what it is? It's like when your significant other's not home. For my case, it's my wife's not home, and I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna make a sandwich. I'm gonna make a big ass sandwich.
You and I do very different things.
Very different. This is where all the anger comes from. So I'm like, I'm gonna make a big ass sandwich. I go and get like a big old roll, you know, and I'm like slicing it. I'm like, oh man, I'm like a big ass sandwich. I get all the meat and I get all the product and I'm smearing any types of sauces I want in there. I got lettuce, I got tomato, I'm cutting up tomatoes. I don't know what she's gonna use them for. They're not for my sandwich. The whole thing, right? That sandwich, that's what I'm the rebels in this situation. I make that sandwich and I turn around and it falls off the plate. That's exactly what happened to them.
But you still eat it anyway.
Well, yeah, I wasn't going to say that part. But you know what I do? I sit on the ground and I eat it off the ground because it's now the ground sandwich and I'm stealing it from the ground.
You can't let the ground have all the sandwich.
Son, the ground's talking dirty on my name, dog. Someone's got to teach this ground a lesson. This is my sandwich. Run that sandwich. That's kind of what happened to them. It's got to be disheartening if you're the Red Bulls. And, you know, hopefully they lose every matchup.
And finally, Toronto against the Chicago Fire.
Out the door's back, baby.
Out the door is back. But, man, this game probably should have ended 1-1. But the keeper for the Fire, Johnson, I forgot his first name. Wow. Just
he slipped. Did you see that? He slipped. He tried to do a throw.
It's not
he tried to throw the ball.
You don't even need to it wasn't even necessary. It wasn't like ready for like a counter.
No. And then the thing that sucked is he pointed at the guy he was gonna throw it to. Like, okay. So Altidore was like, oh, this right here?
Right here is where you go.
So then I might as well just stand here. And then the ball went short because he slipped and it literally landed on, you know, on Altidore's feet. And he sent it to I can't remember who, Sean,
I forgot his name, but
Sean Johnson, maybe, whoever it was. Open net. You know, just beautiful shot though. Like kind of a curl.
It would have been bad if he missed that.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been MLS 2.0. So it's kind of nice to see. But he kind of curled it a bit so that it would stay away from the keeper. Yeah. Had a nice arc to it. Beautiful shot. That's the way you lose.
Yeah.
You got to walk away from that feeling. Not so good if you're Chicago.
Yeah. Chicago's already having a rough season. We talked about them, ad nauseum last week.
Paul Tenorio.
With Paul Tenorio. And
people were upset at you for using the Sparky photo.
Really?
Yeah, people were like, hey, man, say what you want about us. We agree they're not going to make the playoffs, but don't pull Sparky into this. And then I realized it's called Fire and Sparky the dog.
He's a Dalmatian. I thought it was like a cute thing.
The two-bit blend, Sparky, though, like you spark a fire. It's so stupid. I'm not a big mascot guy. I'm not a big fan.
And now in the Eastern Conference, Toronto FC in first place, Red Bulls second, and NYCFC third.
So. All right, whatever. We're still in the playoffs, so that's all that matters. Big success for over last season already if you are NYCFC. Forget what happened at the Revolution. By the way, playing with football numbers on the field, NFL numbers, can we be done with that already?
You know what was most annoying about that is that the Patriots weren't even playing at home the next day.
Right.
So just put the numbers after the...
Y'all can't redo that?
Just do it after the game. Do it after the MLS game.
Literally, as the whistle blows, get out there and put those numbers on. It was annoying.
How long does it take to put some numbers on a super field?
Remember the Giants used to have the Jets? It was like zippered turf. They would zipper it down. Mm-hmm. Can't do that?
Unbelievable.
I hate the whole turf thing.
Robert Kraft.
Come on, Bobby K. Anyway. Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break?
Yeah.
We'll talk about our sponsor
We'll talk about our sponsor. Please support our sponsor because you'll be supporting the show.
Buy something. We're not getting paid a lot, but it's a little bit of scratch.
Yeah.
So listen to this. Listen to this little message from the sponsors. We'll be right back and we'll talk EPL in the second segment.
Hey guys, Christian here from The Cooligans. I just want to let you know about Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon makes amazing underwear. They make better underwear than what you're currently wearing right now. What you're wearing right now probably has holes in it. It's probably terrible. It smells awful. But Mack Weldon, they make great undershirts. They make underwear. I play soccer in a Sunday league. And I wore my underwear just the other day. And I played two games, both 60 minutes apiece. You know, I got one goal, one assist. In both games total, right? So I really busted my ass out there, right? I gave it all for the team. And you know what? My underwear held up. It felt great. It was comfortable. And you know what? At the end of the game, right? After I'm throwing my underwear in the hamper, right? It didn't gross out my hamper, my home. It still smelled great. They have underwear that's made out of these magic fibers that don't pick up any scent whatsoever. They are lovely. So make sure you go to MacWeldon.com and go support the Cooligans. Just use the promo code Cooligans whenever you buy anything at MacWeldon.com, and you'll be helping out the show. You'll be helping out yourself because you can throw away your disgusting underwear. So go to MacWeldon.com and pick up some underwear today.
Yeah, baby.
We are back.
Aha. Segment number two.
Talking EPL, which we haven't really done this season.
We didn't do a lot of.
Yeah, I mean, the season started. It's been 4 weeks or 4 games, about right. 5 weeks. And now we're taking some, a little bit of time to talk some Premier League.
Thank you for foreshadowing.
Yeah, no, but.
What's about to happen?
Mostly because, we know that our Portland Timbers fans. Hate when we
yeah talk about what is it Igor is not a big fan.
He's not a big fan. He's gonna skip this segment.
Yeah, just flash forward like about 15 minutes and I think you'll be fine.
But okay, so a lot of fun games. Obviously we had the Manchester Derby. This was a very,
I think this was the most anticipated match in a really long time.
I agree. I think the look, Pep against Mourinho. Back at it again.
Did you see the handshake? Mourinho's like big smile. Pep, all business.
Yeah, that's right.
Kind of was telling. Like Mourinho's like, okay, don't let this get to our heads, right? But it was like, I feel like that was a sign that he wasn't as prepared as he'd like to be.
It's hard to say about preparation, but look, I think.
But knowing Mourinho, he would never act that way.
I think given that Mourinho has been in the Premier League for quite some time, I think he's a little bit more just sort of accustomed. That he's like, hey, you look, let me show you the ropes, kid.
Yeah, and this is how it's done.
And Pep was like, nah, I'm here to, like, he's like the, you know, the
I brought my own ropes, dog.
The hungry, like, rookie who wants to you make a good impression.
Right.
And look, what I took from the match, Manchester City won 2-1. But what I took from it was, I think Pep's system is just, it's just better.
Well, the big battle, and it, you know, reminds me of Barca Real Madrid, which was he would use Mourinho would use the quick and high press to counteract and to stress out the passing ability of in that tiki taka style of Pep. And here's the thing: Pep doesn't have as good of players as he used to have at Barcelona.
Yeah,
he's got some great look, De Bruyne that. That goal was incredible, that first goal. Mm-hmm. But it was also off of a long ball. That's not Pep's style.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So he doesn't have the players to play the way he wants to play. So I will give him credit for, like, you know, adapting a bit and understanding that the Premier League isn't necessarily the place where you might be able to, do tiki-taka every week in and out. I mean, even Arsenal's found that out. You have to play a bit defensively sometimes, especially when you're on the road. But I don't think Mourinho has the players he wants either. You know,
I would disagree because I think Manchester United I think they are stacked with talent. Ibrahimovic has been, he's older.
I'm not gonna disagree with you. I just don't know that that's exactly the talent that Mourinho would want to have.
I mean, these are the people who he requested. He got Pogba. He has Ibrahimovic.
What a waste of money so far.
I don't think so. Look, they've won every game, like, except for this one. I think Pogba is still getting adjusted to sort of his team, and I think he hasn't really embraced a leadership role yet. So I think that's going to take a little bit of time. But overall, I think Manchester United, with the talent that they have, they can, it makes up for some of the mistakes that they can make strategically. So they can get by pretty far. But I was very impressed with how Manchester City played, given Aguero was not, he's suspended for the three games after
the elbow.
Because of the elbow.
But Iheanacho is incredible. And this guy needs to
eat. Iheanacho.
Sorry. Yeah. He needs to either be sold or Aguero needs to be sold at the end of the season because it's too much. Too much for one team.
You think so?
Why would you put Iheanacho on the bench? He's just that good.
Yeah, but he's not Aguero.
Right, but how long is Aguero going to be Aguero?
Look,
well, his whole life, if you're an asshole listening to this. But you know what I mean? How long is he going to be at his prime?
That's a good. That's a fair question. But overall, yeah, I was pretty impressed because I did think Manchester City, I thought they were going to get sort of just like overrun with the amount of talent. But look, Manchester City, I don't think they have the they don't have they can't match up on talent alone. And you know, the Ibrahimovic goal, which really just happened because Claudio Bravo
fucked up.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell he was thinking. I mean, just hit the ball, grab the ball. You don't leave the ball there. Yeah,
you think Joe Hart was just going like, I'm the one who's got to go to Torino.
Bravo made a couple mistakes that it sort of makes it, you know, the big thing that Pep wanted was someone who was good with the ball at his feet.
Right.
And from that game, I don't feel that. Claudio Bravo.
Yeah, it looks like he's still searching. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, at that point, like, why get rid of Joe Hart? But, you know, whatever. But overall, like, Bravo made that mistake, and Ibrahimovic with that great goal, striking it out of the air.
Straight poacher.
Yeah. And you don't make a mistake like that, especially when Ibrahimovic is on the team and he's also 5 feet from you.
But I will give you this. I mean, you know, Ibrahimovic had a chance at a goal, clear open goal, and he sort of soft taps it. It looks like he was waiting for a foul to be called, you know, the whistle to blow. But, you know, I don't know. I feel like any other striker would just turn around and wail it into the goal, hoping that there was no whistle blown, you know, and hoping that it counts. It just seemed really, really weak. And, you know, that could have changed everything. It was only 2-1 at the end of the match. Manchester City wins, the Manchester Derby, the first one at least. And, you know, at the end of the day, I walked away thinking much more confident the same way you are about, a Pep system, but also realizing Mourinho's system is so much easier to put in. Maybe it doesn't work as great against Manchester City, but it seemed like they were lacking a certain composure, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that.
And I don't know if it's, maybe it's Rooney, you know what I mean? Maybe they wanted to go to that 4-3-3. I'm not sure, you know? It just, you watch it and you think to yourself, Ibrahimovic, how much longer does he have? Maybe one more season after this? He's clearly a stopgap. You know, you look over at Manchester City, Pep Guardiola has brought up how many of the people from the youth development? I mean, that team is stacked with youth players now.
Yeah, when it comes to like maybe physical ability, in youth, yeah, Manchester City has it. But, you know, I Manchester United, I think, again, they were a taller team, stronger.
That's a very British thing to say, though, but that doesn't win you.
Exactly.
I'd rather have a bunch of guys that are 4'11" than win.
Yeah, I would say for the most part, I think the difference between Manchester United last season and this season is there is a I feel like there's a more security, I feel like, defensively. But that's about it. For the most part, I think they really went crazy with, like, let's spend money, let's get more goals this season.
They should have gone out and got Diego Costa.
I mean, whatever. It's not like they got scraps. You know, they have some great...
And they got Ibrahimovic. Ibrahimovic could have gone to MLS and they would have said he was too old. But because he went to Manchester United, all of a sudden he's a savior. Well, you know,
he has a goal basically every game. He scored in 3 out of 4 games.
Well, Manchester United lost and they're in fourth place. Who's third?
Everton Football Club, which we all expected.
Everyone, clearly. I think, you know, when we all lay our head down to rest that night, we all think to ourselves, Everton deserved to be in the top
after 4 games. We were like, of course, out of top 3. Yeah, Everton is going to be there. Yeah, insane.
Only 2 goals allowed. I mean,
Everton. Yeah, and look, that's the thing I've been noticing the most is Ronald Koeman has made the team a little bit more poised playing a style that's maybe more pragmatic and not really focused on too much style. It's just really just more focused on being.
It was a little boring. Second half was a totally different animal. That first half was hard to get through.
Well, yeah, because it's not the team that you love.
But I love all soccer, you know?
Yeah.
And that was a tough one. And, you know, De La Feo coming in for Ross Barkley, who does not look good so far.
He's looked all right in the earlier games. He didn't look great in against Sunderland. Yeah.
Right.
But overall, Everton defeats Sunderland 3-0 because of a Lukaku hat trick.
And I needed him on my fantasy team. Every one of my defenders and my goalkeeper, no points. 0 across. I'm like, did they even play this week? Yeah. What happened here?
But they had, I think like at halftime, it was like a 70-30 possession or whatever.
Yeah,
I mean, Everton just controlled the game, and which is still a little surprising given that Everton, that's not really been their game all the, like last season I don't remember many games where they were so dominant, but especially because they only changed like maybe two or three pieces, but those two or three pieces are why we can keep the ball. There's a lot more comfort passing to each other.
Yeah, and you look better doing it with Deulofeu.
Well, Deulofeu, he's...
I know you're very up and down on him. I like him.
I don't dislike him. I think he's...
I think it goes on record that you hate him.
I think his focus... He's like Jack Harrison on NYCFC. He's there to just like attract some attention and make a couple plays here and there. The thing I don't like about him, I think he should have more assists in general. I don't think he's not a strong enough of a scorer, and he's not a strong enough of a passer assist guy.
You're like, pick a specialty.
Yeah, because but when it comes to technique and creating space, he can do that. He's very fast. He's obviously very technical.
Right.
But it's like that right pass.
He does make the team play more central, which I think is important, because if you watch that first half, it's nothing but these crosses coming in from the wings to Lukaku, who's being covered by four defenders.
I love Lukaku. I hope this is intentional, because what's been happening more is that he's just straight up posting. He's just posting up on people.
Oh my God. He's boxing.
I mean, it's literally, he looks like Tim Duncan.
He learned a few lessons from watching Pogba's terrible shot in that street ball game.
That's right.
You know, he's using his strength a bit better.
Not just his strength, but just his positioning. And he doesn't really need to be a guy that's like to make solid runs just give me the damn ball.
Yeah, because just aim at his forehead.
I'm bigger and stronger than anyone that's going to be covering me.
And did I see this correctly? He went 1,100 minutes without a goal.
Yeah, he went a while because he had a great start of 2015-2016. He had a great start.
Yeah.
And then towards the end, he just kind of petered out.
Yeah. I still remember that one great match with him and Kone Ah, where Kone Ah just...
You always say Kone Ah, but his name is Kone.
But he...
The A is just first name. It's Aruna Kone, but he puts the A.
But he pronounces it Kone Ah.
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure. It's not one word. I know it's not one word. I think he mentions the last.
Oh, he says Kone Ah every time?
Not every time.
It's pretty pretentious.
Well, Kone. Fine.
But I know what you
did
mean.
I just say about confrontation the first part? Come on, Christian. But all right, fine. Kone. I've never seen him play that well, and he hasn't played that well since.
Well, he hasn't played much. I don't think.
But that... I that moment, I believe last year, I was like, oh my God, this is this. You put the two up front. Look at how these two play with each other. And they couldn't. They haven't been able to duplicate that.
For whatever reason, they don't have the greatest chemistry in the world. I don't know why. I think Koeman, at the very least, he's doing something that he's demanding more from Lukaku, right?
And which you want,
yes,
because he's not someone who needs to be babied.
So there was a Nias was the other other forward, mm-hmm. and he got sold, and he there was a question about him before the season started. They were like, where is Nias gonna play? They asked him in a press conference. They asked Ronald Koeman about it, and he said, "If Nias wants to play, he needs to go somewhere else, right?" Which is really like, "All right, you're keeping it real, dog."
Just fire emojis popped up around his face.
And I think, I think there's a he's being very serious about what he's demanding. And look, the signings that there was a was it Dem- not Dembele, Sissoko. That was supposed to come from Newcastle, and that was a whole big deal, right? Because
you guys sent the plane.
We sent the plane to go pick him up, and he's like, "Nah, man, I'm good,
not
like,
playing."
Well, he didn't even respond. He just ghosted Everton.
Yeah,
and then he went to Tottenham. Your favorite team. There were a lot of signings that Everton missed out on.
Yeah, but you got, look, Bolasie, I'm not necessarily sure him. And what was the other guy that you guys spent $45 million combined?
Ashley Williams.
Yeah. Who's up there in age, but really strong defender.
He looks good. Looks good. Bolasie, yeah.
Bolasie has moments, man. He does. You know, you can see why they bought him, but at the same time, you're like, dude, you got to be more consistent. That guy, Gay, whatever his name is, that kid from Ghana who wears G-A-N-A on his back.
That's right.
Number 16 or 17.
Gueye.
I think it's Gay. They kept pronouncing it Gay.
Okay, okay.
Or Gueye. Mm-hmm. Fucking incredible. Now, there's something about he's a bit erratic. And then, again, this is all coming from watching one match, but I sat back and I said, this is the guy. Mm-hmm. If him, De La Feo, and Bolasie can find some sort of rhythm, Everton, I don't know if you guys are going to stay in third place. You guys are making the top five because those three, they are the dynamic, and maybe Ross Barkley's a part of that. Maybe he's not, but that's the dynamic sort of midfield that you would need to be able to continue to go direct and forward and center.
Yeah.
Enough with these wing plays.
Ever since James McCarthy left, I think he's been a big difference because he's a defensive midfielder, but he's not a big guy, you know?
No, yeah.
He's pretty small, but he's fast enough to get to where he needs to be.
And he's good with that ball on his feet, man.
Yeah, yeah.
He's really good with that ball on his feet.
And he can move the ball forward have some pace. So, yeah, look, I'm as surprised as everybody else. I cannot believe
it. You're Robert's like, I'm excited. Don't even say nothing. I don't want this thing to fall apart.
Just a couple of weeks ago, we were like, Lukaku's not staying. We weren't confident about what the team was even going to look like.
Yeah.
And
here you are.
And they look great.
Well, they look great in this one match. Yes, they are in third place. Now, just a few steps below them. Not that far away, if we're being honest. And close enough within striking distance, right, guys? Over in seventh place is Arsenal, who beat Southampton 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, son. Our center back is out there on a bike, baby.
That was pretty crazy. I was watching the game.
He took a monster hit to the eye, though. Did you see that? It wasn't during that. It was right after that. But, I don't know. They're saying there's a chance he might not play this. I don't think he's playing the Champions League.
Laurent Koscielny.
Koscielny.
With a great bicycle kick, which you're really not really used to seeing from a center back, especially. No, that was pretty wild.
Especially a veteran center back. I mean, he's not like this wily center back. He's just like he had his eyes on that prize.
Yeah,
it was just wonderful. It was wonderful to see.
Yeah, but like Bellerin, I could see that from Bellerin
for sure.
Yeah, but
even Holding, young guy, mm-hmm. Gabriel, he's Brazilian. They're capable of doing that every once in a while. You were talking about that you thought the Giroud penalty was controversial. Did you think it was a penalty or not?
No, I didn't think.
Come on.
I didn't think.
The fly Emirates was nearly on his back. That's how much his shirt was getting pulled.
I mean, I think overall in the Premier League this season, there's been a referendum, right? There's been this thing that's like, we are going to call any fouls in the box. There have been so many, any kind of tugging, pulling whatsoever.
Right.
I thought it was a bit soft. Look, Arsenal deserved to win that game.
Here's why people have a problem with that. It's because Giroud didn't go down right away. He didn't go down while he was being pulled. The guy let go, and then Giroud came to the ground. It's not Giroud's fault that he's strong.
Yeah, it's not his fault.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's not his fault that he's gorgeous. Oh my God. He's not to blame for a lot of things.
It's not even our fault. I want it to be nobody's fault. Looks great with a beard, too. You figure, don't hide the jawline. Oh my God, it got even better. What's going on there? But he's getting yanked down in the box. That's a penalty.
No, I felt like that the defender had a good chance to get the ball, and I thought he was just going for it. So it just seems soft. That's all.
I don't think it's soft when the neck of your shirt has been stretched to three times the size. Arsenal badge is on your other chest, on the other side of your chest. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That maybe that's all it was because the Arsenal kits are a little tight. So he was like, hey, man,
a little tight.
Loosen it up a little
bit. Oh, my God.
You're distracting me. Your pecs are just.
I went to the Puma store. Mm-hmm. And for everyone in Europe listening, that's right. I said Puma, not Puma.
Puma.
Puma just sounds like, a laser being shot. But I went to the Puma store and I was like, oh, let me try one of these on in XXL. Well, there's the two, right? There's the player version and then there's like the at-home version.
Yeah.
The player version has like these rubber guards in it, like these rubber strips in it that sort of conform it to your chest.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you doing that in XXL? Well, who's wearing that? I put that thing on. It was so tight. I couldn't breathe.
Wow.
And the guy was like, well, I'll check for another size. I'm like, you're going to have to find a 7XL.
Well,
I mean, this is, and he was like, I mean, that's the player version.
Once you try
on. Do I look like Alexis Sanchez? It's Alexis Guerrero's.
Once you try on a shirt, once you try on an Arsenal shirt, can they even sell it anymore? Because it's no longer the original size.
No, for sure not. Next, they'd fine. Around the waist, a little bit more breathing room.
The next person who tries it on, it's like, oh, this is loose.
Yeah. Also, what's all this hair on these rubber guards on the inside? Just really ripped it off my chest.
Was it like you got a waxing under it?
Yeah. Right where that is. It looks like I shaved abs.
There's tiny Asian ladies inside every Arsenal shirt that just rip your hair.
Yeah. Very expensive. But that's what happens when you sign some big sponsorship deals. You can afford it. Well, look, I think Premier League is getting off to a really exciting start. I'm really excited to see what happens in the next Manchester derby. I'm excited to see just how Mourinho handles it, because he's already thrown his players under the bus. I'm really excited to see, Perez actually get a touch on the ball, which he didn't do last Arsenal match.
Say his name again?
Lucas Perez.
Lucas Perez, yes, sir.
Yeah. Shaka, Mustafi, Perez, Cazorla looks great. There's a lot of things to be excited about if you're an Arsenal fan like myself. If you're an Everton fan, you're having a great beginning of the season. If you're a Manchester United fan, relax. You got Ibrahimovic and Pogba. If you're a City fan, you won the first one. You're not the nosy neighbors anymore. You get to brag until the next match.
I just wanted to say one thing. I was playing FIFA the other day, and I played against Arsenal. And in the commentary, and then this must be new because I've never heard it before, but they were saying, the commentators were saying about how the Arsenal is such a successful club and how they've expanded the stadium and how they're clearly bringing more money in and also critiquing about how they don't spend money on players, which is so great.
We're getting roasted on FIFA.
To put it on the game, to be the fact that how much money they mentioning. Oh, it seats 60,000. This is like super detailed. This is like someone.
It's like a business report, quarterly report.
An Arsenal fan is clearly like working on this game.
A disgruntled Arsenal fan,
and they're like,
works at EA Sports.
When they're doing the voiceovers with the commentators, like, hey, can you just mention this?
Yeah, do
because
me a favor.
Maybe Wenger's gonna hear this.
Here's the algorithm. Look how many seats they have. But I mean, unfortunately, that's part of the conversation with being an Arsenal fan now, is talking about the finances and the lack of spending. I don't know. Look, we've spent over $100 million this offseason, or £100 million. Like, come on. Let's see who these players can be. Let's see what they can do. We didn't see a lot of Perez out of the first match. I'm more than happy to give him time. He's never played at this intensity before. So let's give him time. Mustafi looks fine, from everything I've seen. Shaka looked great for the times he's played. Let's just see what happens. I'm an Arsenal fan, and look, I bitched about the not buying, and I've ranted on this podcast before. Right now, it's the beginning of the season. I don't like being, 6 points away from or 5 points away from the top. We're at 7. The first place, Manchester City's at 12. But looking at points and looking at standings this early in the season is such a fool's game anyway. Let's just play.
Unless you're an Everton,
if you're an Everton fan,
you'd be excited.
Are you kidding me? You got to be out of your skin right now.
This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to the club.
Yeah, but for me, they're going to lift a banner up that says this. Put this in the trophy case. Third place finish after four matches. I'm annoyed and I'm upset as an Arsenal fan that I want them to do better, but I'm always going to want them to do better unless they go invincible again. So, I'm fine with it. Let's just see how this team plays out. Why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break? We'll hear from our sponsors yet again.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back and do a little Cooligan's Corner. Sound good? I'm waiting on you.
Oh, it sounds great.
All right, there it is. Come on, everybody. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. This is Alexis from the Cooligans. I'm breaking in just to talk to you a little bit about Mack Weldon. I've talked about this underwear before. They're absolutely amazing. And look, they sell more than underwear. But here I'm going to tell you about this underwear, because I guarantee you that the underwear that I'm talking about is better than the garbage you have at home. Okay. I know that because I have that same garbage. Now I have a pair of Mack Weldon underwear. Absolutely incredible. I was at a wedding in the woods. I don't know who got married in the woods. I don't understand why they just can't have it in a hall like everyone else with parents arguing. They decided to do it out in the middle of the woods. I danced my ass off. I must have danced for about 4 or 5 hours straight. My knees are killing me. I'm an older man now. I don't know what's happening to me. But you know what didn't bother me? The fucking underwear I was wearing, it smelled amazing when I took them off. I danced all night. I wore them to sleep. I woke up the next morning, took them off, and I was like, you know what? Let me check these one more time. I smelled them incredible. Again, gave them to my wife. You know what she said? They don't smell bad, which that's world-class level. That's gold. It's winning gold in the Olympics level for my underwear. They usually smell bad coming back from the cleaners, and they're like, we don't know what to do with these things. These things smell good on the way to the cleaners. It's incredible. It's totally different. I don't know what to say about it. They're magic. They're made out of mirror station. I don't know what they're made out of, but you guys got to go try them. Go to MacWeldon.com. If you use the code Cooligans, you're going to get 20% off. That's Cooligans. You're going to get 20% off the best damn underwear you can get. MacWeldon.com. Yeah, it's Cooligans Corner, baby.
Cooligans Corner, brought to you by Mac Weldon.
MacWeldon.com.
Mac Weldon. Use the promo code Cooligans for 20% off.
Yeah, just hammer this in. Please buy something. Please, please, please buy something.
Yeah. But Mac Weldon makes great stuff.
Yeah, so they're please, great. You've heard it.
Support them. You're supporting us. So do
that. Yeah, please do. And if you have friends that you think need underwear, tell them.
Or if you have friends that don't need underwear, that's really strange.
Yeah.
Talk to them.
How many Brazilian friends do you have?
On to Cooligans Corner. Some interesting stories.
Sure. That's what this is for. We're going to blast out some, quick stories.
Some of the stuff we missed throughout the episode. So,
what didn't we cover?
Abby Wambach is in the news. Abby Wambach, she is she has a new book.
She's a tell-all.
The book is called Forward, which is the position she played and her strategy for approaching women. Also very forward.
I'm Abby Wambach. F1 awards. Come home with me.
Like, tone it down, Abby.
Yeah,
like,
damn. You too forward. Oh, I see what you did.
Okay, there. I get it.
Word up.
But Abby Wambach, she was recently on Good Morning America talking about her book, but she was also mentioning how she dealt with growing up lesbian, she felt like there was a lot of pressure on her.
Right, even from her own family, hide it.
But she also was talking about having a prescription drug addiction.
And alcohol too, right?
In her playing days, which is it's not unheard of in, you know, when it comes to athletes, because they have to go through a lot.
Yeah, and they got to play through pain.
Yes, but I guess it's not a thing we hear very often from female athletes.
Yeah, this is part of that world that I guess just isn't spoken a lot about, you know, especially when they're marketable. Mm-hmm. You know, they try to shy away from anything that's controversial. So good for her for speaking out. I mean, hopefully this helps other people who may be in similar situations. And they're, you know, nothing worse than, you know, she mentions how, like, you know, her father or family just wasn't supportive and she felt embarrassed to be a lesbian. Come on, guys. You know, if you have a kid, love it no matter. I mean, unless it's killing people, you know what I mean? Love it. Like, you know, Young Thug came out and said that, that his dad used to beat him up for wearing women's clothes. And someone tweeted, wait, isn't that the plot of Empire? Which I thought was very funny. But, you know, it just doesn't make... Obviously, it doesn't work. You know, his album covers him wearing a dress. That shit doesn't work, so stop it.
Well, you know? I mean, I'm not playing devil's advocate, but if we get to make another Abby Wambach,
I see what you're saying. Maybe this is where the talent comes
she's
from.
She's very, very incredible.
I'm starting usually to question what role I play here, because that would be mine. That would be mine to say normally.
But it is like, we've seen this in movies. It's a very common story. Like, we're the children who deal with the most amount of oppression and pressure from their family usually become amazing human beings.
Right. Like, if she was happy, she'd be like a sculptor, not making any money.
No. No, but obviously, no. It is not.
If you do, they're going to be successful.
Like, just keep that in mind.
My ass got beat a lot. Maybe it doesn't work out for everyone.
Maybe you weren't.
I wasn't beat enough.
Yeah.
I should have wore some heels or some shit. Next thing you know, I got an album.
I mean, it is kind of crazy, and this what was sort of sad about that interview where she mentioned. Abby says, if I play, she felt that when she was a child, she was like, if I play well, my mother might forgive me for being who I am.
Which is such a terrible thing that someone has to sort of carry around with them.
What a terrible thing to feel, but also what immense motivation to be great.
Also, how terrible is it if it's true? Imagine that mom's like, you know, you scored a bunch of goals. So it makes me forget that you love box, you know?
So, okay, I'll allow it. Yeah. Yeah, you got a hat trick this time.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with it. But yeah, that is... you know, Abby Wambach, she also is going through like a divorce. So there's a lot going on with her. And so she's
got a lot, but at least she's being out and open.
You know, one thing I always feel weird about when people start sort of revealing things about themselves that they will make, like, you know, that may inspire people, or might help people.
Right.
It's usually always attached to like, a book, a tell-all book.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like...
Yeah, she didn't just come out and say this on TV.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's a lot of crazy stuff I've done. If you want to read about it, get down to your Barnes & Noble.
There's always a marketing push behind,
of course,
you know, how open you all of a sudden are being.
As there should be. Go for it.
Making a little bit of money. Well, good for her. Good for her. Abby's, she put in her minutes for the country, so she's done great.
Can't wait for Alex Morgan's book.
What's that one going to be?
I'm not sure, but I'm excited for it either way.
All right.
She probably abused, you know, buying Barbie dolls. She seems like a clean cut kind of a gal.
Yeah, maybe, you know,
a little too clean cut.
Okay,
so I want to see Hope Solo's book. That bitch in third grade. I found her when I was 20 years old.
Her like smoking a cigar on the cover.
Exactly. Wearing an ascot, blood on her knuckles. What is that from? Hope.
Yeah, that's gonna be a good book, man.
Yeah, Solo Forever. I hope Solo.
That's a great title.
My first name has four letters. My last name has four letters. What I think of you has four letters. Hope.
Tone it down.
Take it easy.
For our final story on Cool Against Corner, this was actually kind of wild. So this came out of CBS Miami. They had a story about there's an uptick by a huge percentage.
By a large amount.
Using the word tick is not even the correct sort of description.
That's like I gained 100 pounds since I met my wife 16 years ago. It's a slight uptick in weight. Yeah. You gained another human being, bruh.
Basically, they're saying that with the rise of popularity of soccer among kids and teens, so comes the rise in the number of injuries. So apparently, there are just way more injuries
a lot of strains, a lot of pulls, things like that.
So they're basically saying that the hospitals are getting increased numbers of injuries by 78% at the and the yearly rate of injuries increased by 111% among youth 7 to 17 years of age.
That's crazy.
So
I know a lot more concussions, but they've taken a lot of steps. I think there's rules that are trying to be put in place now where they can't head the ball until they're 14 years old, which just makes sense. First of all, you learn to play with your feet.
Yeah.
You don't need to head the ball at that age anyway when you're young. If someone's sending it across with pace from the wings, what are you guys doing? You're 7 years old.
Well, stories like this are a little misleading to me because, yes, there are more injuries. Yeah,
how the hell is it misleading?
No,
I mean, your facts are right, but
it's misleading in that there's going to be more injuries in every sport. It doesn't matter what sport you play. It's just saying like we're getting more soccer injuries, so watch out.
I don't think it's watch out for soccer. I think I look at it as a positive. You know, certainly kids being injured isn't a positive, but I look at it and I think, oh, okay, that means more people are playing the sport. You know, it's like, how effective is a forward? You know, there's only a certain amount of ways you can do that. You know, looking at completed passes and things like that don't help you. Looking at key passes, looking at chances, looking at goals. Those are all good indicators. Another indicator that a lot of people like to look at is how many times have they been fouled? How many fouls have they drawn? You know, that goes to show that they get the ball in spaces where they need to be fouled to be stopped.
Yeah.
This to me is like that. Like, it's not a direct correlation, but this is a great indicator that there's more people playing the sport. You know, that the sport is becoming even more popular. The concussion number scares me most because I think the reason, you know, obviously all the great work that MLS has done and even some of the lower league and some of those smaller cities, they've all done such great work promoting the sport. So that's probably where a lot more interest. And obviously the Premier League and Serie A and La Liga is becoming even more popular here in the US, Bundesliga as well. But I think a big part of it is American football. Parents are just scared to send their kids to go play American football.
Yeah.
Mainly because of the head injuries. So we need to monitor our head injuries as well so that, you know, these kids aren't out there, you know, I don't know, playing badminton or something.
Well, the...
God forbid.
What's slightly misleading regardless of what it is, the headline of the article is youth soccer injuries are way up. So... You know, we get that there's
Fat Joe right there. Soccer injuries all the way up.
So the it's basically suggesting that soccer is dangerous.
Soccer has become more dangerous.
Well, it could also say, you know, American football injuries are way down because parents refuse to let their kids play American football anymore. Right.
Terrible headline.
as exciting.
I'm going to suggest that it might be a little long. But, you know, the article doesn't give you an inclination that, you know, it's become more popular of a sport or the reasons why, you know, sort of leaves it on you to sort of learn that. So I think you're right. It is a bit misleading. Like if it said, here's what our analysis shows, it's become more popular. Here's why it's more popular. Even though these are a lot of injuries, still less than the types of injuries you would get playing American football.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I get your point. Like they left that whole paragraph, you know, where they sort of correlate the data.
Like most news, they scare you into watching. Yeah, it's like, it. Yeah. You know, there's a murderer outside your door back at 11, yeah. You know? So, like,
it was a great, when I was in one of my proms, I forget which one it was, junior or senior, we went to a comedy club afterwards, went to the Strip, back in its heyday. It was
the comic strip.
The
comic strip live in
New York. And it was fucking amazing. There was a guy who they said, like, you might recognize him from, what was the name of T-Mobile before? It was like Circular or something like that.
Singular Wireless.
He was in Singular Wireless commercials. And I was like, you know, like in my head, I'm like, someone who's been on TV and not like cops, you know, like this is going to be a real person. He gets out. And I immediately knew it was a commercial where he talked to like an owl. I was like, oh my God, I've seen this guy. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I remember from his act was like, he hates how news anchors will scare you. Like the news scares you. They're like, you know, do you sit in chairs? Are your balls going to explode? We'll come back at 11. You're like, no, that's information you give me right now. I'm sitting in a chair as we speak. You know, it's the same thing. It's like just scares you into clicking on the next thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but look, that is the positive to take from this is that, yes, more children are being injured playing soccer.
That's the positive.
But more kids are playing soccer.
Yeah. Well, listen, you got to crack some eggs if you want to make an omelet. All right. If Timmy's going to be good, Billy's got to get his ankles broke. That's just how it works.
You know, somebody has
Sydney got to get megged so that, you know, another girl's name can become popular.
You couldn't think of Michelle, one girl's name.
I said Cindy.
He says, two. It stops there.
Cindy,
you know your wife's name, and that's as far as you want to.
That's it. I'm done. I don't
want to know. My wife gets angry when I say any other woman's name. So
I don't trust these broads. I don't want to know anyone's name. I know one person's name, and that is I'm so sorry, D. That's how I say it.
Oh, man. All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening to another episode of The Cooligan.
This has been a fun one. We're going to have some more interviews coming up in the next few weeks. We've got a really big event that we're planning in the next few weeks. We're going to try to get you some information on that. As soon as we confirm everything, it's going to be big. It's going to be real.
It's going to be the biggest thing we have done.
So, yeah, it's going to be the biggest thing done. I mean, this is going to be huge.
It's going to be great. So if you are in New York or near New York, or are interested in anything New York related, we're going to have an event and it's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So there's a lot of stuff that we're planning. We got more videos coming out. We've got the second round of the stuff that happened when we brought the Trump impersonator over to Yankee Stadium for an NYCFC match. There's a lot going on. I know NYCFC has a press conference coming up at the end of this week. So there'll be even more information for us to talk about next week. And look, we didn't talk about NYCFC even though they played. We barely talked about them. Wasn't a great game. But, look, we try to talk about the whole league. We try to talk about every league, anything that's fun. You know what else? Some people have been sending us messages of, trying to connect with us and things like that. When you're sending us an email, let us know if there's something that you want us to talk about, even if it's for a local team. Like maybe we'll reach out to, a reporter for that club and we'll talk about it. Even lower league, man. Guys, let us know, Indy 11, FC Cincinnati,
Chattanooga.
Yeah. I mean, Nashville just switched it up and they're moving to the USL. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff happening out there. Let us know if you're a real big fan of a specific club or a specific specific team, let us know, man. Maybe we'll make an episode just about that, or maybe a segment, you know?
Yeah.
Let us know. Absolutely. And how you let us know is by going to, you can go to soccercooligans.com and then you can put your email in the system, or you can just send us an email at soccercooligans@gmail.com.
Yeah. Also, if you want to get a sticker, we still have Cooligan stickers.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Ask for some stickers, guys. We've got a few of those left. We got to save some for this big event as well. But whatever. We'll have enough.
Email us at soccercooligan@gmail.com and just let us know where you want the sticker sent, and then you'll get them right over.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Alexis.
My name is Christian.
And you've been listening to the
Cooligans.